Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes, casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Mike, thanks very much. So for those of you who don't know me or perhaps watching online, my name is Will and I'm the minister here. And it's lovely, as Tim said, to be part of the churches together in Bucking, our Christian community, which of course isn't just one building or institution, but it's all of us who share this common faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have to confess that just before every Good Friday and every Easter, I listen via YouTube to a talk given by a very charismatic, gifted orator called Samuel Lockridge. His Good Friday talk, he repeats the phrase, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." And I thought I'd try interspersing my talk this morning by saying, "But Sunday's coming." And that is your opportunity, if you feel comfortable, to respond with a hearty amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. So on Sunday, we remembered Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Here was a man who was working miracles, he was raising the dead, and whose radical teaching was causing thousands to follow him. People were thinking, people were hoping. They were calling for him to lead the entire nation, to declare independence from the occupation of Rome, and to set up a new dynasty. And now he was coming to the most holy of cities, the place of the great temple, and the heart of the Jewish faith. If he was going to do anything, lead anything, declare himself to be anything, be crowned anything, if revolution was going to begin, it would be in Jerusalem. And he'd been telling them all along about what was going on. Everything he was teaching, everything he was about, was moving toward what would take place when he eventually made his way to Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus makes it really clear to his inner circle about what will happen. He said this, Jesus took the 12 disciples aside and told them, "We are going to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him." Jesus had been moving towards Jerusalem and this moment all his life. His life had a single mission. He was born to die. And this was where his life's mission would be fulfilled, on this Good Friday. It had started so well, hadn't it? Crowds hailing him, Hosanna, laying their cloaks on the path, waving palm fronds on the road. But now Jesus' situation had turned 180 degrees. But Sunday's coming. Celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples, he's betrayed by one of them, Judas, a man who he'd been training and pouring himself out into for the last 3 years, betrays him for 30 pieces of silver. After supper, they head off to Gethsemane to pray. Jesus predicts that one of his inner circle, Peter, will deny he even knew Jesus. Another betrayal. But Sunday is coming. Jesus tells them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Jesus falls on his face to pray and is in such agony over what he knows lies ahead that he even sweats blood. He's asked his disciples to stay awake to pray, but they're overcome with tiredness and all fall fast asleep. Jesus asks his heavenly Father, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." He knows what lies ahead of him, but he also knows that this is his mission, to die. But Sunday's coming. Amen. Judas and the other soldiers arrive in the garden looking for him. He is betrayed by a kiss and is arrested. He's hauled off to the high priest and interrogated. They spit on his face and they hit him. Peter is asked 3 times if he knows Jesus, and he vehemently denies even having met him. And then the cock crows, and Peter weeps bitterly. But Sunday's coming. The following morning, Pilate can find nothing wrong to convict Jesus, but has him flogged anyway. Jesus, realizing what he has done wrong, returns the blood money and commits suicide. Pilate, in an attempt to free Jesus, offers the crowd the choice: free Jesus or free Barabbas, who was a murderer. The crowd is stirred up by the priests and demand the release of Barabbas, the guilty one. And so the innocent man is handed over to the soldiers to be crucified. But Sunday's coming. Amen. Jesus is led away to Golgotha and his hands and feet nailed to a cross, which is then erected and jolts down into its socket. A sign is nailed above him, King of the Jews. He and 2 others, one either side of him, are left hanging there. Mary is crying, and it seems the world is winning. But Sunday is coming. Amen. One of those being crucified with Jesus hurls insults at him, but the other one, recognizing Jesus for who he is, says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answers him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Then darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining and the curtain in the temple was torn in two. Later, knowing that everything that had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It would have seemed like the world had won. But Sunday is coming. Any last glimmers of hope that he'd summon angels to release him were gone. Death had won. All was lost. Grief enveloped them. But Sunday was coming. You see, when the sky turned black, the climax of a cosmic battle was taking place. All the sin and mess of humankind, past, present, and future, was transferred onto Christ's sinless shoulders. in the heavenly realms, all the sin that Satan is ultimately responsible for, the mess that clings to you and me, that means we simply can't have an intimate relationship with God, was taken onto his shoulders in this unimaginable display of sacrificial love. All our attempts to sort ourselves out, to make ourselves good, to be forgiven by God, were rendered obsolete. At that moment, the real agony, far worse than the nails and the suffocation, was the fact that with our sins on his shoulders, his Father in heaven turns away from him in disgust. Now, you and I can only have a glimpse of what a perfect parent-child relationship might be like. But Jesus enjoyed that. And now it was severed. It was cut off. His beloved Father, unable to even look at his Son because of your and my filth in our lives, was all over him. That's why Christ cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? But through that agony, his mission is complete. The sin that runs through our history from our rebellion in the Garden of Eden like a crimson cord all the way to the cross is finally cut there. It is finished. The Greek word for finished is tetelestai. It was used in business, which meant that the debt was fully paid. It was also used in judgment in the court system, meaning that the sentence was fully served. And it was also used in a military sense, meaning the victory had been won. It was finished. So when Jesus said, it is finished, he meant three things. First, your debt of sin is fully paid. This is like being thrown into prison because you run up massive debts. Let's say you owe somebody £1 million. You can't pay, you're bankrupt, you're thrown in prison. It's like someone coming along and writing out a check for £1 million that gets you out of jail, that redeems you, that earns you your freedom, that means you're completely free to leave. Everything that holds us back is paid for on the cross. Second, the sentence and punishment for our sins is fully served. This is utterly astonishing. This is like being in a court of law and being found guilty for some heinous offense. And then some random person in the court says, my Lord, I will take that person's punishment. And the judge says, what do you mean? Yeah, I will take that person's punishment. I want you to let him go. Lock me up instead. Execute me instead. And you walk out of that court a free person without a blemish on your record, because all of that is laid on someone else. It is astonishing. Our slates are wiped clean. All those things in our past that we can't quite escape from are paid for and sorted out once and for all. And thirdly, the battle against the devil and sin and all the usual enemies like sickness and disease and even death itself have been fully won. We may still physically die, but death cannot contain us, and we need not fear it, because Sunday is coming. Amen. We can now rest in the finished work of the cross. It is finished. The debt is fully paid. The sentence is fully served. Victory is fully won. And you and I get that victory. It's free for you and me, but it cost Jesus his life. You see, that's how serious our situation is. It is so serious that God had to send his Son to die for us. And that's why we need to take this message seriously. So do you want to share in this victory? Are you tired of fighting on your own? Are you tired because the world keeps on coming out on top? Are you entangled by a past of which you're deeply ashamed and want to be set free from that once and for all? Are you feeling guilty and unworthy? Are you losing hope? Because if you are, turn to Jesus. For as he hangs there on this cross with his arms outstretched, he's beckoning you home. He's ready to take your burdens on his shoulders. And Sunday is coming. Amen. If you'd like to accept Jesus into your life, and you haven't already, if this perhaps is the moment in your life when that penny drops, and you now understand what this cross-shaped thing means that people wear around their necks as jewelry, and yet was a first century instrument of execution. If the penny has dropped for you today, why don't you join in with this prayer after me in the quietness and silence of your hearts? Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I have done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Holy Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Sunday is coming.